subjectivity in consciousness, is that our life lesson? Is that the path?
Right.
Or is there specific life lessons for us as individuals,
yeah,
based on DNA, memory, family history, etc., etc.?
Yeah.
Or is that the self, the path, the ultimate path?
Great. I reckon everyone in the room wants to know this. Why am I like I am? What is my life message? Why do I have these thoughts and these feelings and another person doesn't have the same thing? What is all that? Karma. This is the word Vedanta would use to explain conditioning, which can also be called DNA, genetics. Anyone in the room who's ever seen a baby, watched a baby behave, brought your children up. All people come into life with content, with aspects of character, individuality, which is unique to them. Siblings are not the same. Forget psychological arguments about nature and nurture. The reality is that you and everyone else here has content within them, which you were born with. That content is going to direct your life. That content is going to influence, not only influence, create, bring forward your choices. That content is going to shape what becomes your character and your personality. Your environment is going to have an effect upon it. But the core elements of, am I introvert? Am I extrovert? Am I peaceful? Am I not peaceful? These core qualities of personality are in you. You're a program running, you know? You are a program running. And at birth, that's booted up, that program. And that program is going to last for 90 years and is going to drive you forward. Now, you will feel often that you're making independent choices, that I'm going to do this because I want to do this. From where has the thought come? Where has that idea come from? It's come from me. How? How's it come from you? Did you select it? Did you choose it? Well, I thought about it. So what even generated the interest to make you think about that? Someone else hasn't thought the same thought. Someone over there thinks a different thought. What is it that's creating the... Where are your thoughts coming from? Let's put it like that. Where are your thoughts coming from? You can't tell me. You can't say. They arise. Where are your desires coming from? They arise. Where's the shape of your mind coming from? It arises. So, there's content. You are a program running. And your life is going to be shaped by the characteristics of that program running. Now, that can be said to be your karma. Is there a life plan, I think you asked. How do you know? Well, the drives that are in you are going to be satisfied. They're going to carry you forward all your life. And that must be so. That must be the case. So what's the project then? What's the overall project for that? Here we have 60 people in the room, all with individual aspects driving them forward, karma. So what's the overall project? We don't know. It would be arrogant of me to say the project is this, or this, or this. We don't understand the nature of humanity or the nature of the universe, but I would say the project is to evolve collectively, in a microcosmic sense, and individually. So I think I started off today by saying, in people who become interested in spirituality, you want to be good, you want to be nice, you want to be better, you want to be happier. You want to be kinder. You want to find some kind of inner meaning, some peace, some satisfaction, some resolution, some completion, actually, some contentment. So this is a project. This is a motivating force. This is evolution itself, working through the sensibilities of your mind and your body. As a consequence of, scientists would say, genetics, and we would say karma. It means in this moment, the shape of your mind is a consequence of the past. I don't mean your life. I mean the long past. I mean before you were born. All of that. And even prior to that, even the influences of humanity and evolution itself are in you. So your parents are in you, your ancestors are in you. The seeds of humanity, the seeds of human is in you. It's all there and it's all being expressed in your individual way. So the best thing to do is to take it on. You know, take it on and allow. And do all you can to not resist. It's exciting, isn't it? Would you say? Loss, yeah.
Although incredibly difficult, is, God, isn't it, freeing isn't the right word, but I can't think of another word.
Uh-huh. To be over it, you mean?
No, just the process is, I don't know, someone once said your best work is done when your back's against the wall.
Yeah.
And what more than bereavement, you know?
Yeah.
And it continues to be incredibly difficult, but probably the biggest lesson
in finding
out about oneself.
Yeah. Okay. I think I mentioned before, there is that very understandable desire to cling and keep and not lose and hold on to and have secure for numerous reasons which we don't need to discuss. Part of my meaning might be invested in the continuity of another person, for example. We understand. We understand why that might be. But it's a fragile state. So if I say to you, what is your security? It's a profound question, and it deserves to be thought about for a long time. What is your security? Is it my job? Is it my money? Is it my partner? Is it my place in the world? Is it my health? Is it my face? Is it my child? What is your security? Because all of those things, beautiful as they are not stable and are not permanent. So if your security is invested fully in another person, or a situation, or a place, then you can tell. Enjoying the relationships in their rich sense is important, but security cannot be in these things. There must be a deeper security about life, and there is, and itself, its consciousness, which is one for all, one joining force. One cohesive force, also sometimes called love.